chapter 1, starting in verse 39, we're going to read through verse 56 and continue in our series entitled Christmas Impossible, looking at the subject of peace today. Peace. Last week we talked about hope. This week is peace. Next week is joy. And then Christmas Eve, right at our Sango location, we're going to look at love, topic of love, and how it seems like it's impossible in this season to experience any of those things. But with Christ, man, we're able to. And so we're going to look at peace today. So verse 39 of Luke chapter 1, if you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there. If not, it's all right. We'll have the verses on the screen there. You can follow along there. But this is a follow-up right from Mary's interaction with the angel of the Lord in verses 26 through 38. Right, we looked at that last week. Mary encounters the angel of the Lord. The angel gives this message that Mary is going to be pregnant. By the way, you're pregnant with the Son of God. Right, the baby that you're going to deliver is going to deliver you one day. And so she gets this news, and her response in verse 38 says it all. Right, hey, Lord, your will be done. May be done according to your word. And then we see what happens next in the narrative. And so verse 39, look what it says. It says this. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Remember, Elizabeth was, a relative of Mary. We talked about that last week. Not sure, doesn't explicitly give information on what type of relative, but I called her Auntie Elizabeth last week, so we'll just go with that. You know, it was an aunt. Verse 41, look what it says. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me go ahead and put one more caveat here. This is a great verse that could highlight the importance of the sanctity of life. It's interesting, Brother Cody, the first individual, right, to give testimony to the fact that Jesus, right, was on earth, coming to earth, was an unborn child. Hey, I got good news today, friend. Hey, the importance of life, the value of life, right, is from the womb to the tomb. From the womb to the tomb. I figured I'd throw that in free of charge. Amen. Let's go ahead and keep rolling. Verse 42. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And then we see Mary's response, known as the Magnificat, or song of praise, in the next verses. Verse 46 says this, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. And for behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever.'" And then verse 56, "And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home." We see underlined right in this narrative, right, a picture of a young woman, right, who possesses this peace. This peace that Paul talks about surpasses all understanding. This peace, right, that many of us perhaps in this room are searching for and looking for. Mary possessed, and we see it by the way that she chooses to respond to the word that she gets from Elizabeth. And so with that being said, my hope and prayer is that we'd be folks that walk in this peace that we can possess in him today. Why don't you pray together? Lord, we love you. We thank you again for today, Lord. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to open your word, Lord, and spend a few moments, Lord, digging into your scripture. I pray over these next few moments that you would meet with us here, Lord. Speak to us. And Lord, may we be folks that choose to leave differently than the way we came, having encountered you. We love you. We thank you. And we excuse me, ask these things all in your gracious and heavenly name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Whenever I think about peace, right, I think about one of my favorite peanut cartoons, right, starring the main character being a young boy named Charles Brown. You'll probably know him as Charlie, right, Charlie Brown. And I think of an interaction he has with one of their so-called friends, in air quotes, Lucy. And the reason why I put it in air quotes is, if you don't remember the stories of Charlie Brown, right, Lucy was kind of a punk. I'm not going to lie to you. She was a bully. She was mean, man, you know, beat up all their friends. You know, I mean, she wasn't very nice. But the interaction that Lucy has with Charlie Brown goes like this. Lucy said, hey, you know, I hate everything. I hate everyone. Man, I hate this whole world. I hate it all. And Charlie Brown pauses like, wait a second. I thought you said you had inner peace. And Lucy's like, yeah, I do have inner peace. But Charlie, I also have outer obnoxiousness, was their response. It's like, man, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Clearly, Lucy didn't have an accurate portrayal of what peace looks like. Peace was circumstantial for her. And though that is a funny cartoon, that statement will really preach if you let it. Here's the reality, man. A lot of us have this skewed view of what true peace looks like. Like Lucy, we think peace is based on circumstance. If we're at peace, man, everything has got to be going well in our life. If we're at peace, man, we've got to be all put together. Things have got to be perfect. When in reality, we know that that's not the case. Not the case. True peace, right, consists of us, man, in the midst of turmoil, even though life is chaotic around us, right? We're able to walk and say it is well. I believe somebody else said it a little bit better. A guy I like to call Johnny Mac, John MacArthur, right? He said this quote talking about true spiritual peace. This is what he says about it, what peace actually is. It says this, true spiritual peace is completely different from the superficial and fragile human peace. It is the deep, settled confidence that all is well between the soul and God because of his loving, sovereign control of one's life, both in time and eternity. Amen. That's what true peace is. True peace essentially saying, hey, being able to say, it is well. Man, because you trust in the sovereign control of the Lord and being able to exhibit that, walk that out in our life. And so what does that look like for us in here today? Here's the reality. Some of us in here, we aren't able to walk and exhibit this peace, right? Perhaps because someone has done you wrong in the past. Perhaps because, man, your current state of life is super chaotic. Perhaps because, you know, you struggle with some of these elements that we see in our world, you know, mental health struggles, anxiety, some of these other things. Well, good news today is, hey, in Christ, man, you can walk in this true peace. Here it is. In Christ, you don't have to settle for being a victim of what's taking place or what's happened in your life. You don't have to settle for being a victim, right, of the time that you were victimized, right, in that dark crevice of your life. Listen, you can walk in peace today. Yeah. Right, Jesus came so that we can have peace. Before we dive into the text and see how Mary experienced right this peace, I want to walk through the layers of peace that we see in the scripture. Those of us in here who know Jesus, right, we see this peace, right? It's layered, if you will. Right, we first off see this. Those of us in here who know Jesus, you've got to know and understand, right, that you have peace with God. With God. Phrase will be on the screen here. You have peace with God. Romans 5:1 tells us that. Says this, therefore, since we've been justified, made right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, our sin made us enemies of God, made us far from Him. Right? It kept us far from Him. But the good news is, whenever we turned and trusted in Christ, man, we were made right with Him. And now we have peace. We went from being enemies to not just being friends, but being a part of the family. Amen. We have peace with God through Christ, man. That is the grace. I'm glad I'm on God's side. Glad I'm on His side. And I've got peace with Him. Secondly, right, this layer of peace. We see that, man, in Christ, we have peace with man now. We're able to walk in harmony with our fellow brothers and sisters. Ephesians 2, verses 13 and 14. Look what it says. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Here's what you need to know today, right? We don't just have peace with God if we know Jesus. Man, hey, we're able to have peace with our fellow brother and sister in the Lord. Hey, I've said it before, but I'll go ahead and say it here. You know, I might as well say it. Listen, what that looks like is, right, we're able to have peace with our fellow brother and sister in the Lord, even though they have a different skin code than we do. Hey, we're able to walk in harmony and peace with our fellow brother and sister in the Lord, even though they come from a different part of the neighborhood than we do. Oh, we're able to walk in peace with our fellow brother and sister in the Lord, even if they have a different political affiliation than we do. Hey, because the dividing wall of hostility has been broken, man, we can walk in harmony with each other. Man, that's the beauty of the Christian life. It's not uniformity. We don't all look the same, right? But it's unity. Man, in spite of our differences, man, we can unite under the gospel, right? Under the fact that we belong to Jesus. Man, we can have peace with man. Thirdly, we see this. Those of us in here who know Christ, talking about this peace, layers, right? We can have peace of mind. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says this, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." Man, we can have peace of mind. Hey, you can go to bed at night, even though you're trying to get that kid to sleep and they're screaming, you know, their heads off. You can go to bed in peace. You know, if they continue to scream, go ahead and wake, you know, go check on them. You know, let me go ahead and tell you, go ahead and check on them. But hey, you can go to bed, man, with peace. Right? Because, man, your mind is fixed on him. That's how we experience peace, man, fixing our minds and our eyes on him. And then lastly, and then we'll get into the text, right? We see that this peace consists of having peace of heart. Peace of heart. Colossians 3, verse 15. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart." See, we have peace with the God of peace, right? Through faith in the Prince of Peace. And through that faith, man, we have the Spirit of Peace living inside of us. And so we've got to choose to allow, right, the peace that we have from the Lord to reside in our hearts. What that means is this: instead of, man, someone ticking you off, instead of trying to give them a piece of your mind, right, choose to hold the peace that you have from the Lord in your heart. And choose to walk in that peace today, right? The layers of peace for those of us who know Jesus. Now let's get into the text real quick, what we read from Mary and this narrative here, right, and this picture of a young girl that has experienced and exhibited peace in her time, right? I believe we see two statements here, right, pertaining to peace and how it is experienced based on what we see here in the text. Statement number one is this. We see that peace, right, this peace that we're talking about is experienced in community with other believers. This peace is experienced in community with other believers. I don't know if you've thought about this or not, but maybe you've asked the question, as soon as the angel left Mary, why did Mary flee? It said that she hurried. She hurried on. Why did she end up going over to Elizabeth's house? Auntie Elizabeth's house. I mean, if I were her, you know, and at that mind, I'm assuming she's frantic. She's scared, you know. The thoughts going through her mind that, man, she may get stoned. She may, you know, Joseph may end the engagement. I mean, all this stuff that she's facing, she could have just simply hid, you know. But she ended up going to Elizabeth's house. Why is that the case? Perhaps it's, oh, this is good right here. Perhaps it's because she wanted to go and connect with somebody that knew exactly what she was going through and walking through. We see the angel tell Mary that Elizabeth, who was once barren, was now with child. Now, it wasn't the Christ child, but saw a miracle take place there. And Mary, right, the only person that was able to understand what exactly she was going through, the only person that she could run to was Auntie Elizabeth. And so she runs in haste over to her. And through that encounter, which we'll talk about in a second, she experienced peace. Hey, friend, listen, true peace, right? If you want to experience true peace in these days, man, it's found, man. It's experience through community with other believers. Here's the reality. Some of us in here haven't been able to walk in peace in these days, right? Because your Christian life looks more like a cocoon, right? You dwell in a cocoon with your family, just isolated, far away from folks, rather than being in community with other people that can encourage you, lift you up. sharpen you. The call of the Christian life, man, is for us to dwell in community with one another. Right? And we see a picture of that here with Mary. Right? We see the beauty of community and what takes place here. Right? We see first and foremost what took place in the life of Mary in this encounter with Elizabeth was that she experienced Spirit-filled affirmation. Spirit-filled affirmation. It says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and verse 43 said, hey, blessed is you. And who's got the Christ child in your womb? Irvin Wassa translation. Blessed is you who's got the child in your womb, the Christ child in your womb. Right in that statement, she affirms the fact that, man, Mary was with Christ child. Obviously, Mary, man, she had faith. But what an opportunity to be able to be affirmed right through the Spirit of God, man, that she was actually going to birth the Christ child. That's a beautiful picture of community. Right, as you do life on life with people, as we do life on life with people, share struggles, share burdens, right? As you're, you know, around table, you know, we've got family groups here that meet all throughout, you know, the city, right? And I've sat in on a couple of them as folks are around the table sitting, right, and sharing, right, to pass the scripture that they're in or sharing experiences pertaining to that. Right, those words that are shared, right, that the Lord's revealed to them, it speaks to somebody else in that table. And perhaps affirms what's going on in their life. Affirms a call. Affirms a choice to step out in faith. And all that takes place, right? Because they're walking in community with each other. Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit and responded in the Spirit. And in doing so, affirmed the message, right? That Jesus Christ, that Mary did bear the Christ child. Bear the Christ child. Man, we see the value of community. I remember when I was in seminary, my last semester, what I found out was my last semester before transferring up here or moving up here, finishing my school up here and working at the church. I remember, you know, I had a good friend, Larry Johnson. He was about 10, 11 years older than me, really like an older brother. We worked together. And I remember when I got the call from our lead pastor here, you know, it's at our Sango campus, Pastor Dare. He said, man, you know, we want you to pray about coming on. And I basically told him, no, I'm good. I'm all right. And a couple reasons. Number one, Tennessee was a little too far north for me. I'm from Dallas, lived in, you know, Louisiana, you know, hey, Tennessee was a little too far north. I heard they had actual seasons with like actual cold winters. It only gets cold in Dallas three times a year. In Louisiana, it only gets cold once a year. So I wasn't about that. Number two, he talked about, yeah, you know, we live in Clarksville. I was like, Clarks who? I'd never heard of Clarksville before. I knew in Nashville, but I didn't know anything about here. So I told him, no, I'm good. I'm good. And I remember, you know, going back to the office where we worked and Larry, you know, was like, hey, what's that conversation about? I said, well, you know, it was about, you know, got a call from this church in Tennessee. I told him, no, though, man, all this stuff, you know. He's like, so you mean to tell me you have an opportunity to, you know, step out and serve in ministry? And I think you ought to give him a call back. And I just kind of brushed it off. But I remember at that time, hey, the Spirit of God said, hey, Brother Larry's right. You need to have a conversation with Larry's words of affirmation about the actual step that I needed to take in order to come up here. And listen, that wouldn't have happened if I wasn't in community with him. That wouldn't have happened if we didn't have the coffee meetings. That wouldn't have happened if we didn't have the times where we, you know, cut up and fellowship the office. It wouldn't happen if we had the times where we shared about the struggles in our life. We see the value of community taking place there, man. Taking place. Listen, those of us in here who are neglecting community, you're missing out on the opportunity to be around, right, the Bible study table and get encouraged, get invested in, right, by somebody else's word. Those of you who are missing out on community, you're missing out on the opportunity that we have to be able to be sharpened by another brother and sister in Christ. And ultimately missing out on walking in peace. We see here the value of community, right, that Mary experienced Spirit-filled affirmation, but also see here that she experienced Spirit-led encouragement. Verse 45, look back at it. After Elizabeth, you know, she says, man, what an honor it is that the mother of the Christ child has come to me. You know, the sound of your greeting, man, my boy affirmed it, jumped in the womb. Verse 45, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. right? Spirit-led encouragement. Man, Elizabeth in that moment encouraged Mary. And that is the picture of community. That's why we're in it. Some folks want to come with a shield up, you know, thinking, man, I don't want folks to know my problems. Hey, we all got problems. All got them. But the opportunity to be able to step in and encourage one another, to keep going, the opportunity to sharpen one another, right, to be the followers of Christ that God has called for us to be, man, that's the privilege of community. And we're missing it if we're not plugged in and invested in it. Missing it. The beauty in walking in community with others is the opportunity, man, to be spoken into, if you will, right? The opportunity to have truth spoken into your life. God can use anybody at any time to do this, but oftentimes his vehicle right, in doing this is obviously through relationship with him, but also through community, using others as well. And so, man, listen, get into community. Get into it. Shameless plug, I mentioned it earlier, family groups. Man, we got family groups that meet all across town here. Listen, if you're not plugged into one, get into one. Get into one. We got lists out in our Ministry Connect table. Grab you a list and get signed up for one. And experience what it looks like to live life on life with people. As Mary did. In doing so, you'll experience that peace. First statement, peace is experienced in community with others. And then secondly and lastly, church, peace, true peace, is experienced in communion with the Lord. True peace is experienced in communion with the Lord. This is really where it starts, but we just see how it's broken down here in the text, right? Mary's encounter leads to this response to her going to the Lord. But we sense that, you know, this wasn't the first time Mary went before the Lord, right? In prayer and praise, based on what we read here. Right? Peace is experienced in communion with God. If you want to walk in peace this Christmas season, man, it starts with, man, spending time with the Lord. Spending time with the one who made you, who wants to be with you. By the way, those of us in here who are struggling with some of those things I mentioned earlier, right? Anxiety, man, deep-rooted, deep-seated issues, right? That have led to anger, bitterness, stuff that you've experienced in life, you know, the way perhaps you've been victimized. Those of you who are walking through that. Listen, man, Christian counseling is great. If you need one, come and let me know. I've walked through it. I've met with Christian counselor after my dad passed. I met with a Christian counselor here in town. It was awesome. It was great. Right? Medical professionals are awesome. But listen to me. Hey, the journey to being able to walk and experience this peace starts with, man, sitting at the feet of Jesus and spending time with him. That's where it starts. It starts with communion with him. What does that look like? What is spending time with God look like in your life? That's where it starts. And we see Mary here, right in her song, right, the Magnificat, right? It is this picture of her, man, just getting before the Lord. She hears this news and her response is, man, I can't help but to praise. I can't help but to spend time in prayer with God. Man, she experienced peace by communion with the Lord. Real quick, the elements of Mary's time with God. What do we see here, right, that sticks out pertaining to her time with the Lord? Number one, we see that it was intentional. It was intentional. As soon as Mary got done with Elizabeth, Elizabeth shared those words at the crib where she was at. It says that, man, she went and praised. And Mary said, next thing. She was intentional about it. What does that mean for us? That means this. Hey, this is good. This is what it means. You cultivating and growing as a Christian, growing in your walk with God, it isn't just going to happen by accident. It's not just going to happen by osmosis. You know, if you come to church enough times, then maybe, you know, one day you'll be able to have an adequate time with God. No. It takes intentional steps. It takes intentionally turning off the phone when you want to browse the news in the morning, right? And getting alone with God. Hey, it takes waking up a little earlier. Right, then you need to, man, and spending that 15, 20, 30 minutes alone with the Lord before you start your day. It takes intentionality. It takes intentionality. What does that look like in your life? There's got to be intentionality. I love what Paul says. I mentioned it earlier, right? Philippians chapter 4, it talks about, this aspect of praying, right? And taking our anxieties, taking our stuff to the Lord, right? I love what he says, verses 6 and 7. Look what it says. It says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That is what we call an exhortation. It is a strong urge, right, for the people in Philippi to do this. Hey, you need to be doing this. Lay your stuff down at feet of the Lord. Go to the Lord in prayer. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Man, if we're intentionally taking our stuff to the Lord, man, we'll experience that everlasting peace and be able to walk in that same peace, regardless of what's going on in our life. We see, right, to number one, it speaks to intentionality, but secondly, it speaks to intimacy. Secondly and lastly, we see here this reality that, man, Mary's just being real and honest, unashamed before God. I love how this looks a lot like, you know, a lot of the Psalms that, you know, David penned, right? And basically journal entries about his life, right? And him just being real and raw before the Lord. And that speaks to intimacy, speaks to closeness. It speaks to this thought that, man, listen, God already knows my stuff, so I'm just going to bring it before him. I'm just going to run to him. Those of you who are parents, right? I mean, that idea of your child, dad's in here, man, just running to you. He doesn't have any. He's not ashamed of anything, especially at that young age. You know, whenever they get to teenagers, you know, they think that they're all big and bad. That's how I was, you know, 5'3", 125, you know, thinking I was big and bad. But there's no being shameful there. They just run to you, and that's what we see here in Mary, man. It speaks to this intimacy, this closeness that she has with God. I believe that some of us, right, we may miss experiencing this peace that God promises us. Because our prayer life and our prayers, right, they look more like research papers than they do journal entries. Say, Pastor, what does that mean? Does that mean that I'm not supposed to be praying a ton? You know, what does that mean? You know, research papers are long. I'm supposed to spend a lot of time in prayer. No, you're right, you are. But research papers, man, they're formal. They're formal. You know, they try and stamp out any kind of, you know, mistake, if you will, right? And the purpose of them is to get a grade. Whereas a journal entry, man, it's just, you're just jotting down thoughts and ideas. It's real. It's raw. Honest. A lot of us in here are just trying to put on, you know, masks before going before the Lord, man. And when he already knows our stuff. The call for us is just, man, to take it to him. Be real. And listen, friend, whenever you choose to do that, whenever you choose to be real in prayer, when you take, man, walking in intimacy with God seriously, then you'll be the one to be able to say it as well. Even when life around you isn't looking so well. You'll be able to see, man, your Christian life be more than just something that's of circumstance, right? If things are great, then you're great. If things are not great, then you're not great. You're going to be more than that. And we see that here in the life of Mary. See, Mary, like I mentioned last week, man, she says this prayer and prays. Her circumstance wouldn't change. I know we talk about, man, the greatness of the Christ child coming, being born, right? And the excitement that causes. But for Mary, as a 14-year-old virgin who had never been with Joseph, right? How was she going to explain that whenever she got back to her home? How was she going to explain the fact that she hadn't been with anybody? She was potentially facing getting stoned, getting killed, thrown in prison, getting made fun of. The ridicule that was going to come over the next 9 months was going to be tough. But because of the peace that she had, she was able to sing this song of praise and able to go before the Lord in prayer. May we choose to do the same. As we close this morning, I was trying to think this week on a picture to paint on what this kind of peace looks like in the life of a person. You know, trying to figure out what this peace exhibited looks like, right? How do we have this peace in the midst of a stressful situation? Pastor, what does that look like? How do we do that? And I stumbled across a video of a girl, probably around the same age as Mary, who was walking through some tough stuff. As a matter of fact, it's big news in Dallas-Fort Worth, but the video that we're getting ready to watch, she's speaking at a funeral of her dad, who was killed in the line of duty as a police officer. And what she says, I believe, paints that picture of this peace that John MacArthur talks about, that we see Mary exhibit. This peace that we all should be striving to walk in. And so why don't you turn your attention to the screen here.
Line of duty. I have heard all the stories you can think of, but I've always had such a hard time with how the suspect is dealt with. Not that I didn't think there should be justice served, but my heart always ached for those who don't know Jesus. Their actions being a reflection of that. I was always told that I would feel differently if it happened to me, but as it's happened to my own father, I think I still feel the same. There has been anger, sadness, grief, and confusion, and part of me wishes I could despise the man who did this to my father, but I can't get any part of my heart to hate him. All that I can find is myself hoping and praying for this man to truly know Jesus. I thought this might change if the man continued to live, but when I heard the news that he was in stable condition, part of me was relieved. My prayer is that someday down the road, I'd get to spend some time with the man who shot my father. Not to scream at him, not to yell at him, not to scold him, simply to tell him about Jesus.
How is it that a girl who had just experienced the trauma of seeing her own father murdered out on the field, how is it that she's able to say those statements there? If anybody, Brother Ben, if anybody had the excuse, right, to harbor hate in their heart, if anybody had the excuse to settle for being a victim and not walk in the peace that is promised through the Lord, It's her. But because of the peace that she's experienced, because of her understanding who God is, she's able to say it as well. Even to the point of saying, you know what, I want to share the gospel with my dad's killer so that he can come to know him one day. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want to walk in that kind of peace my life. Because I know walking in that, man, that preaches to a world that's in desperate need of. In desperate need of the gospel. Well, the good news is we can. Those of us in here who know Christ, we can. The call for us is to be like Mary here and seek out community. Walking with other believers. The call for us is to be like Mary and take seriously our communion with God, spending time with Him, getting real before Him and laying that stuff that may be in the crevice of our life, in the dark places of our life, laying it down at His feet so we can walk in this peace. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask for the band to come up as we conclude this morning. Listen, with heads bowed and eyes closed, for those of you who may be new with us, this is our time of response. Opportunity for us to get real before the Lord. And hear my heart, man. As the Lord is leading in your life, man, choose to respond today. Maybe you're in here, and again, talking about the topic of peace. Maybe in here, you're in here and you're you haven't been able to walk in this peace that we talked about today because you don't know the Prince of Peace. You don't have a relationship with God through Christ. The good news is, hey, He died for you. Just like He died for me. And you can come to know Him today if you choose to turn from your sins, repent of your sins, and trust in Him. The invitation is there. You can respond and choose to trust Him. Maybe you're here, you know Jesus, you have a relationship with Him, but the reason why you're not walking in peace today because you're not in community with other believers. You don't have the Elizabeths in your life, investing in you, pouring into you, because you're not in community with folks. And maybe your response is to go before the Lord and ask for Him to see what that looks like for you and your family. Maybe you're in here, and again, the reason why you're not walking in community or in peace today is because you're not taking seriously your relationship with God. You're not walking with Him, spending time with Him, getting real with Him. Maybe today, right, is the start of that in your life, getting real before Him, even right now, and saying, God, you know what, the stuff, man, that's happened to me, I'm tired of just being a victim of it. I'm going to lay it down at your feet. I'm going to walk in peace today. God, that anger that I have that's harbored up, man, I'm going to lay it down today. Choose to praise you. I don't know where you are today, but I'm going to pray for us. And as I pray, listen, you respond. You respond. When I say, man, we're going to stand and sing, and maybe you need some prayer. Maybe you need some prayer. I'd love to pray with you. I'll be down front. Brother Cody Clark's going to be up front as well with me. Miss Megan Norman, our children's minister's in the back. She'd love to pray with you. But you respond today. You respond. May we be Christians that choose to walk in this peace this Christmas season. Walk in this peace. Why don't we pray together? Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are, Father. We thank you that you, God, give us peace. Lord, because we know you. God, I pray that you'd help for us to walk in peace today. God, for those in here who aren't in community, Lord, I pray that they get plugged into community, Lord, that they'd see that the value and the greatness of it, doing life with other believers, Lord. This Christian life wasn't meant to be lived alone. Instead of being cocoon Christians, God, I pray that we'd be folks that, man, are in community. God, for those that are struggling with, right, taking their walk with God seriously, I pray that you'd stir their affections for you more deeply, Lord. I pray that they'd be like King David was in Psalm 42 when he said, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Lord, give us a longing, God, to be with you, be in your presence, knowing that it's in your presence, Lord, that we experience fullness of joy. It's in your presence that we're able to walk in this peace that we talk about. Lord, continue to move this morning as we respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Why don't we stand and sing, and you continue to respond as the Lord leads.